Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, the weather is lousy and there's storm warnings up and it's raining and the clouds are swirling around. So why not get comfy if you have power? And if you don't have power, get a crank radio and sit down and we'll talk about plumbing. What could be more fun than that? We have Clint Kershaw and Drew Caldwell here with us. Clint is the owner of Mr. Reuter Plumbing of the Hudson Valley. He's a licensed master plumber, a licensed septic contractor and collector, and a licensed home improvement contractor. Drew Caldwell is an expert plumber and septic contractor and Mr. Reuter's service manager. These guys have been here before. They know what they're talking about. Always an interesting program. Get in line now if you have a plumbing issue or perhaps a theoretical question, a home improvement in the near future. This is the time to call. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. You could post your comments on our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment on Facebook. We have a Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, WAMC Radio. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, but calling is good. 1-800-348-2551. All right, we've dispensed with the introductions. Clint and Drew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Great to see you.
What's new?
What's new? Well, we just purchased the Greater Albany Market, so we now service the entire Hudson Valley.
Wow. So going from, what, White Plains on up?
Yonkers to Saratoga Springs.
Pretty impressive.
So we'll be opening a new office up here. We have a new service manager put in place already. And
What? Caldwell's not good enough?
He's going to manage two.
Oh, I see. I see. Well, very good. Well, that's great. Well, you're a magnate. That's nice to have you guys here, and I'm glad you took some time. Let's go right to the phones. Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Yeah, I'm a retired builder, and I live in a house that was built in 1790. I put a and I have a house that's right behind mine that my mother lives in. It's a small cabin. And when I built the house, I put in a large septic tank of 1,500 gallons to service both houses. My run from the house to septic tank is maybe 40 feet, and I don't have any problem with it whatsoever. My mother's house has about a 25-foot run from her, let's say, from the toilet to the septic tank. And the pipe comes in, oh, maybe 2 inches into the tank. And what happens periodically, sometimes more often than not, is that at the very end of the pipe, I'll get solids build up. As if they're caught on the edge. And after a while, it gets to a point that when she runs the washing machine, it'll back up and you know, cause all sorts of mayhem. I take the cover off the tank and look in, and I take a little stick, and I just reach into that pipe a ways, and then all this stuff comes out. And I don't have to go back very far, maybe 6-8 inches at the most. And I've tried everything. I've reached down in there and took a knife and made sure there were no burrs on the edge of the PVC pipe, which is a 4-inch pipe. I just can't figure out what's going on there. The only thing I can trace it to is the fact that she has a low flush toilet, and maybe the water's getting ahead of this stuff and leaving it behind. And I wonder if you guys have any suggestions.
Have you had anyone do a camera inspection of the line?
The line's no, but the line I put it in, and it's only been used for about 6 years, and the line is pitched correctly, and it's a straight run, 25 feet.
Right. I would if you have a camera inspection of the line, we would be able to tell you exactly what's wrong with it. But I would imagine that you have a belly right before it hits the tank, so it's slowing everything down, and then right when it hits the tank, it's just too slow to make its way out. Yeah.
So if she were, for example, run some additional water down the line when she flushed the toilet, would that maybe help a little bit?
Probably not, because if the washing machine's not cleaning it out, then the flushing a toilet won't.
Okay.
Because the washing machine's the most water.
Yeah, it doesn't seem too likely that there's a belly, because when I laid it out, I was pretty careful about, you know, putting a 4-foot level on it and setting it in. I was told that another man had a problem similar to that, and he cut the bottom of the pipe out so that the water would drop down. And I thought that was sort of a bogus solution, but he said it worked for him, and he was my electrical inspector, so I had to take some he said, cut the bottom of the pipe where it comes in, and you won't have that because it's right on the end of the pipe.
Electricians don't know. it's probably a bad place to get advice on your plumbing.
Mark, you can go do his electric, Mark. That'll be a nice trade-off there.
Check that pipe out. I'd say you have a belly in that line.
All right. I'll look. Unfortunately, it's under concrete, too, so it's kind of hard to fix. But
maybe the camera's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We talk plumbing today on Vox Pop. Clint Kershaw and Drew Colwell are here from Mr. Reuter, 1-800-348-2551. Mike in Clifton Park. Mike, you're next.
Hi, Joan. I have a kitchen drain question. The drain currently runs down under the floor, and then it goes diagonally across my basement, approximately 17 feet. Yeah, maybe a little, 14 feet, give or take. And what I want to do is change that to get it up inside the floor joist. And that would mean rather than diagonal, it would go straight over and then make a left and then make a drop. My question is, where, how far can you run with an inch and a half pipe? And where would you put a clean out? Or where are they required?
The easiest spot to put a clean out for a kitchen sink is right under the kitchen sink. So you're going to have like a T, and the clean out will be facing you. So you're going to have the trap under the kitchen sink and a small plug underneath it that you're going to be able to put a clean out in. That way you can snake it out.
That's there already.
Good. So you already have a clean out.
Right. But how far can I go with an inch and a half pipe? I have to go, when I drop below the floor, I've got to go 12 feet. Mm-hmm. And then make a left for about 7 feet, and then drop down, and then it transitions to a 2-inch. Or should I just put all two and then?
I would really recommend doing 2-inch the whole way. Like what?
Okay.
Yeah, because that'll give you the flow rate, and it's gonna. Kitchen drain lines tend to get sludged up after a long run just because of the extra grease, a little bit of coffee grounds, and some rice, and a piece of corn. All that stuff that gets down there on an inch and a half line is gonna be a bit of a mess.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mike. We had some issues with your connection there at the end, but I think you got the gist. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Bob in Troy. Hello, Bob. Bob! What about Bob? Are you there?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
You're on.
Hey, I've got a problem with my water pressure being somewhat variable. My wife frequently complains that there's not enough water pressure in the shower. Yes, it seems to be fine for me, but I have noticed it drop quite significantly at times. I live in a house with a well. The well pump's been replaced in the last few years. Not quite sure where to start looking.
Is the only issue with the water pressure just in the shower?
It does happen elsewhere, but the principal complaint is in the shower.
Okay. Do you have a hot water heater?
Yes.
How old is that?
11 years old.
Have you ever had the water heater flushed out?
Nope.
Is it specifically the hot water pressure or both, hot and cold?
Haven't noticed.
Okay. Typically when it's in a shower, if that's the source of it, sometimes the pressure drops off. It could be the water heater that it's just building up a little bit of sediment, especially after 11 years. Can build up calcium and sludge in the bottom of a water heater if it's never been flushed out and create some pressure issues. I would check pressure everywhere. You know, check an outside faucet. They make a little gauge that you can put a pressure gauge on an outside faucet. It should be somewhere between, say, 30 and 50 pounds of pressure at an outside faucet. And if you're not getting that, then that's going to lead you into the basement to your well tank to see if pressure can be adjusted there. But I would double check to make sure that if it's specifically hot or cold.
There should be
The nature of the problem is that it's intermittent. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. There's a gauge on your water tank, and that when your water pump cycles, it should be a 20-pound cycle. So 30 to 50, 40 to 60, 35 to 55, whatever that is. So you want to run your water. Look at that gauge. Turn the faucet on. You'll hear the pump come on, and you want to time how long it takes to get up to the 20 pounds and make sure you have that proper spread. And that will, with that information, we could answer a lot more of what may be going on.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate it. I remember one time many years ago at our house, we started losing water pressure. And it turned out to be a very expensive procedure because it was the outside line that was coming from the municipal water, which the first 10 feet is the town. The other 45, 50 feet
is
was
yours.
On me. And that was, in fact, my lawn has never quite recovered from digging that up.
We had to do a repair in a house 2 days ago, and we turned the main water valve off in the house, and there were geysers in the front yard from all the leaks in their water service.
Fantastic. Well, on that happy note, let's take a break here, Mr. Zach, and we'll be back with Clint Kershaw and Drew Caldwell and your calls on plumbing. It's Vox Pop. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number.
Local organic grass-fed beef burgers, Milwaukee hot dogs, bison, and fish fry open Thursday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. PiratesLakesideGrill.com. Berry Price Architecture, since 1996, specializing in buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. BerryPriceArchitecture.com. Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra in the Berkshire Hills. Soprano Renee Fleming, opening the 2014 BSO season in an All-American program, July 5th. Tanglewood.org for tickets. Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York. Plastic surgeon practicing cosmetic surgery in the Capital District since 1996. A surgeon's hands, a woman's touch. CAPEK plasticsurgery.com. And Union Institute and University, Brattleboro, Vermont, offering a master's program in counseling psychology, welcoming applications for fall term. MyUnion.edu.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Before we get back to your calls, some weather issues to take care of. A severe thunderstorm warning is in effect for Albany, Columbia, Greene, and Rensselaer counties until 2:45. Schoharie County until 2:49. And we just saw one cross for Warren County, which is in effect now. Flash flood watch for Fulton, Montgomery, Saratoga, Warren, Washington, Schoharie, Schenectady, Albany, Rensselaer, Greene, Columbia. Pretty much everywhere. And that goes until 7:57 p.m. Now, Clint Kershaw and Drew Caldwell, here is a question. Came via email at voxpop@wamc.org. Sarah says, we have a very hard water situation, which causes calcification in our shower and on our shower hardware. In addition to this, we're experiencing blue and green color deposits. Why is this? Does it have to do with pH? What can we do to prevent it? Is there a way to remove the staining from the bathtub and tile? It's from Sarah.
Yeah, you can do all that. You've got two major issues. One is going to be the mineral deposits are from the hardness of the water.
Okay. And blue and green is common?
Blue and green is a little different. So
okay.
The mineral deposits are going to be taken out by a good water softener.
All right.
So that's the one thing. And that'll clean that up. The second thing, we've got to test your water for the pH. If the pH is too high or too low, it could be either too acidic or too alkaline. Too alkaline tends to cause the blue-green staining.
Okay.
So what's called an acid neutralizer with the right type of bedding in it will also go in and take that out. Kind of strips all the bad pH out, balances the water out. So you're going to need two pieces of equipment to take care of both, but once you've got them in, you should be good.
Okay. Very good. I guess that's what about the staining on the tile and the bathtub?
Some good CLR, anything like that is going to clean it. And then once you have the treatment in place, it won't reoccur.
Okay, very good. Let's go back to the phones. Sandra in Cooperstown. Hi, Sandra. How's the weather out there?
Thunder and lightning.
All right, well, be careful. You're on.
Okay.
Don't die on the air. That's the main thing.
I have air in my water pipes, including the toilet, the washer, shower, outside faucet, and dishwasher. What do I need to do?
Do you have a well or do you have municipal water?
Well.
There's a leak in a pipe somewhere,
okay.
And it's pulling air in. So it would you'd have to find the leak. And so we would start by, there's two parts of the system. There's the pipe that goes from the house to the well head, and we would and then there's the part that goes down into the pump, down into the water. We would separate the two and test each one separately to figure out which one had the leak, and then it would have to be replaced.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Sandra. We appreciate the call and the weather report. Jim in Stone Ridge. Jim, you're on.
Yes. thank you. We've had our plumbing. We have a well, and for 30 years we haven't had any water issues other than green stuff that gets in the filter that's at, on the house side of the pressure tank, which we've been told is algae and more or less harmless. Anyway, we just finished putting in a new bathroom, and in order to get the final building inspection, we have to have a water quality test. So we have gotten a water quality test, and we passed the E. coli, but we failed the coliform bacteria. So we're about to do a chlorine shock treatment ourselves, and I wondered if you had any pointers.
So my opinion on this is that if your well is contaminated for whatever reason, you can chlorinate it, but probably in a year, it's going to be contaminated again.
Mm.
So the best thing to do is to put a UV light system in, and it will kill all of the bacteria, and you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, but any particular thoughts if we want to give the chloroform shock a try?
It's not going to hurt to do the chlorine test. There's tablets. That you put the tablets in the water depending on the size of the well, and you wait. You let it sit, fill the house full of bleach, hot and cold water. You got to do your hot side also. It's not just in the cold. And then you also have to treat the house. So you also have to take bleach and pump it through the whole house and let it sit for as long as you can, up to 24 hours if you can, because you have to kill all of the bacteria in the whole system, all of the piping, the water heater, the faucets, the toilet supplies, everything. And that's the only way you're going to get rid of it 100%. But if you do the UV light, you especially want to treat after the UV light, because then you know you'll never have any bacteria getting into the house. Make sense?
Hello? Are you gone? Well, I assume it made sense. It made sense to me. Let's go to Jim in... Where are you calling from, Jim?
In Bearsville, New York.
Well, nice to have you here.
Likewise. I love these programs. They're really helpful.
You're on.
I've had a septic tank and drain field since I built this house, or helped build this house in 1983-84. Do I have to pump out my septic tank ever? It's a weekend place.
Yes, you need to pump out your septic tank. It's been 30 years. You're way overdue. As a weekend place, two or four people in the house, you probably... You know, 6-7 years, you'd probably be fine, but you need to do it every once in a while. And the reason is the septic tank is really a settling tank, and it protects your leach fields. So when we go to replace leach fields and we ask when's the last time you had your tank pumped, the answer is never, or it's been 30 years, because when the tank gets too full, the solids move into the leach fields, and it destroys the leach fields. So it's nice preventative. A nice way to extend the life of your septic system by just having it pumped.
What does it mean solids destroy the leach field?
The solids are meant to stay in the septic tank. When the septic tank gets too full of solids, the liquid can't settle long enough, and they get pushed out into the leach field, and the solids actually clog the leach field. Leach field should only be getting liquid, no solids.
It clogs up, I mean, it clogs up the pipes in the leach field?
It clogs up the gravel, the pipes, all of it.
I see. I follow. And is there any way to, are there any symptoms I would notice to know this?
It would be backing up in the house, or it would be ponding on the lawn. And if you don't have any symptoms and you've been a weekend, it's been a long time, but just get your tank pumped and don't worry about it until something happens. It may be fine for a long, long time.
And is it just a matter, since my tank is underneath some garden beds, does it mean I have to dig up a huge amount of stuff, or are they just, how does the process work?
You have to find the lid. So
right.
the first time they dig it, you're going to have to, you know, you don't know how much you're going to have to dig up, because if they dig in the wrong place, then they're going to have to move to the right.
I know exactly where it is, and I know exactly where the tank is.
Right. And we like to put risers on everything. So we put a riser on it, you can plant your garden around it, or maybe it's only 6 inches from the surface. And so
right.
In 10 years and you want to pump it again, it's easy access.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Clint Kershaw and Drew Colwell of Mr. Reuter Plumbing of the Hudson Valley are here. Before we get back to the next call, another weather warning for you. A flash flood warning for Albany, New York, Rensselaer, Saratoga, and Schenectady counties until 8:26. It's a flash flood warning for Albany, Rensselaer, Saratoga, Schenectady until 8:26. Back to the phones we go. And Sandria in Albany, you're on.
Hi. So my husband and I are relatively new homeowners. And when we moved in, our house was built, I think, in the 30s. And when we moved in, there was a very old toilet in the basement on a little bit of a raised platform, but it's not a finished basement at all. It's just kind of a toilet that there would be in like a work area on a basement, in a basement. We figured this will be an easy DIY job. We'll just take out this old toilet, put in a new toilet. There will be a flange there. And there wasn't. And it was basically just a hole directly into like a sewage pipe. So we really didn't know what to do. We went to some different home improvement stores and asked for advice, and everyone seemed pretty mystified. So what we ended up just putting a wax seal on it, putting the new toilet down, and we basically never, ever use it. We shimmed it a little bit to get it level, but it doesn't seem very stable. I'm wondering what that is and what we might be able to do.
Great question.
Well, the pipe that's the sewage pipe that's in the floor, you got to figure out the size of it. Do you know if it's like a 3-inch pipe or a 4-inch pipe?
I think it's a 3-inch pipe.
Okay.
But I'm not certain.
So what they make is some plumbing supply houses and some good home improvement stores will have what's called a repair flange, and it will insert into that pipe, and it will expand, and then it will allow you to bolt the toilet to that repair flange. That way you don't have to take up any floor or anything like that. And then it'll allow the toilet to get bolted to this new flange, which inserts into the pipe, expands out, and creates a good seal for you.
Is that something that you won't find at a big box home improvement store?
A Home Depot or a Lowe's may have something like that, okay. But you got to be pretty specific because it's got to insert into the pipe and then expand into the pipe so it tightens itself up, okay. Creates a good seal.
Best place in all would be Security Supply.
Yeah.
Okay.
Security Supply?
Yep.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Ed in Lake Katrine. Ed, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I want to get these guys' names. We'd like to hire them.
Ah. Well, we try not to do business in public radio, okay. But I can tell you their names are Clint Kershaw and Drew Colwell, and it's Mr. Reuter Plumbing of the Hudson Valley, and I'm sure they'd be happy to hear from you.
And here's my question. We have several plumbing issues. We're selling our house in about a year. We have well water. We have a hot water tank. We have very hard water. We have a septic tank that's never been pumped and still working. We have a UV light on our well water coming into the house. But when we sell our house in a year, we want it to be up to par. So, again, can I hire you?
Absolutely.
Well, this is not the time. It sounds like a dating show now. You know, I'm sure you can if you give them a call.
Get your septic tank pumped and change the bulb in your UV light. Start with those two.
Okay. And then to get in touch with you?
Well, go ahead.
845-635-2102.
Repeat that.
845-635-2102.
All right.
Thank you.
Ed, thanks a lot for that call. We appreciate it. Matthew in Plattsburgh. Matthew, you're on.
Yes, hi. I have a kind of different type of way that I get my hot water from my house. I don't have a separate and distinct hot water heater. All I have is a Weil McLean 68 series furnace that was originally oil, switched over to gas, and it, of course, runs the hydronic heating system for the house. And all my hot water I get off of the interior coil of that. And that has never been a problem. I've been in the house for 20 years, but about 5 years ago or so, the local municipality, it's on public water, they switched over from a surface water source to drilled wells. And subsequent to that, I think it's attributable to the scale building up in that little half-inch coil in the furnace that my water pressure has gone down and down and down to a point where, I called up a buddy of mine who happens to work for the local municipality. He's actually water and sewer superintendent. He said he lives on a private well, has the same issue, and he basically does an acid flush every 6 or 8 months or so. And so I did that myself, just using gravity, you know, using a funnel way up high and muriatic acid flushing through. And it helped somewhat, but I was led to believe that, you know, you really have to pump it through to do it right. So I called a plumber who came in with an acid pump, and he tried that. And, of course, his pump burned out because it was the third or fourth time they'd done it, and acid doesn't treat pumps too kindly. And I'm just wondering if there's a better long-term solution short of, you know, replacing my entire system, because I really like the way it works, especially in the summer when I don't need heat. I basically hit the switch, the emergency switch on the top of the stairs. We got hot water for showers, and then I shut it off so it doesn't run all during the day, only for the first 10 or 15 minutes of the day when we need hot water, and that's it. It's kind of efficient in that sense.
All right. The best solution would be to get a water softener. Have your water tested and get a water softener to take care of the hardness.
What about the acid flush? I saw some kind of grimaces from Drew there as it was described.
You really shouldn't acid flush it that much. The problem with it doing it is while it, like you said, it burned up that guy's pump, if you keep putting acid through that coil, eventually it's going to burn through the copper coil in there, and then you're going to have a leak in the boiler, and then now you have a flood, and now you have no hot water, and then you're forced into that situation. So acid flushing a coiler, if you do a good job on it, you should have a good pump, pump it through the system. It should improve your pressure, and you should really only do it maybe in the life of a coil, maybe 3-4 times before you should stop and then, you know, make a change after that. But Clint's advice of putting a softener in is great. Eliminate the problem before it even gets to the coil.
Yeah, I'm just not keen on having softened water throughout the whole house. I was informed that there's a, you know, a product, I forget who makes it, 3M, I think, makes a little filter cartridge that you can put in line on the incoming line to the furnace that softens only the water going to the furnace, but I was worried about reducing the flow.
I'm not familiar with that product, and you can soften. Some people do just soften the hard water, the hot water side. Mm-hmm. So if they're split in your house and you can do that, you can soften the hot water side. And if you're concerned about the salt in the water, you can use a potassium-based salt, which is healthy for you, instead of a sodium-based salt, which is unhealthy for you.
Ah, okay. And then it would, if I just installed a softener like that, would it attack the scaled-up stuff that's in the coil now, or would I have to do an acid flush, and then the softener would just be for residual after that?
Correct. The softener won't remove any of the scaling. So put the softener in, get the water running through it, acid flush your coil, and you'll be good to go as long as you maintain the softener.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot, Matthew. Love hearing from Plattsburgh. Let's go to Larry in Williamstown. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
You're on.
I wanted to add something to a call you had a few callers ago. They were, a gentleman was complaining about low water pressure in his shower.
Okay.
And I've been in a number of times in houses, and more often than not, I would take the shower head off, and there's a little screen right there, and often it gets filled up with silt and dirt right at the shower head.
Okay.
Aerators do get clogged a lot, but he was complaining about it through the whole house, which is why we didn't go for the faucet. Well, but yeah, aerator's always the first place to look.
Yeah, I saw the same thing happen in a faucet once, too. Low water pressure, and I took that off, and it was still very full of dirt.
That's so great advice.
I thought I'd add that comment.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Have a good one. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. We talk plumbing today with Clint Kershaw and Drew Caldwell of Mr. Reuter Plumbing of the Hudson Valley. Dave in Montague, Mass. You're up.
Hey there, folks. How you doing today?
Good.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I built my own house in New Hampshire back in the 80s and did my own plumbing back then. And I haven't owned a house until recently, but I have a small plumbing project I'm working on with copper pipe. I got all new fittings, all new pipe, and everything I'm going to put in for this small job. But my flux and my solder are old, and I was trying to do some sweating of pipes yesterday, and I got everything all nice and shiny and put it all together and fluxed and everything, but the solder wouldn't go into the joints at all. It just kept beating up and falling off, no matter if I had it cooler or hotter. And I couldn't figure out what the deal was. Does flux get old, or is there some incompatibility? There are different kinds of fluxes or something? It seems like a chemical process that is not going in properly.
What kind of solder are you using?
Well, the label's fallen off. I know it's lead-free, because that's all I could use back then.
Okay. But, so you do need to upgrade it. I think the solder will probably be okay, even if it's like a 50-50 mix of lead and solder, that's fine, or newer, which is 95.5, that's fine too. But yes, flux does go bad. It'll separate, and it won't do its job anymore. It's designed to,
okay.
When it heats up, it's supposed to suck that solder right into the joint, and if it's not doing that, it's just a sign of bad flux.
Okay.
Okay, cool. And one other question. I have a ball valve. I know, like, I have a hose faucet, and I want to take the valve out before I do the soldering, so I don't want to destroy the rubber. But with a ball valve that's all metal, do I have to take that apart before I sweat it also?
No, you don't. You should just
keep
it cracked open so that way it doesn't heat up inside. But just as long as the valve is open, you'll be fine.
All right, great. Thanks, folks. Appreciate it a lot.
All right.
Dave, thank you very much. We'll take a break. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. We'll hit the home stretch next.
Support for WMC comes from Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community, berkshire.coop. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, plus collectibles and curiosities, open 7 days a week, yeoldwarwickbookshop.com. Barrington Stage Company in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, presenting Kiss Me, Kate, Cole Porter's musical comedy, now through July 12th on the Boyd Quinson main stage, barringtonstageco.org, and Ellis Medicine and Bellevue Women's Center, providing preventive heart disease screenings for women, ellismedicine.org.
T-Bone Walker, if you're scoring at home. 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Clint Kershaw and Drew Colwell are here with me, Ray Graff. And we'll take your calls in a moment. But first, another weather update. And here we go. We have a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for these counties in New York, Albany, Schenectady, Schoharie, until 4:08. Severe thunderstorm warning there. And then the aforementioned flash flood warning for these counties, Albany, Rensselaer, Saratoga, and Schenectady, until 8:26. It's a fun day, weather-wise. Let's go to Steve in New Paltz. Steve, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I just have a comment about, I had the same problem as that particular lady did about air in her lines, in her water. I've lived with that for a couple of years, of water occasionally, and almost constantly, but you know, it's not a terrible problem. And I went to a long-time plumber in the area. It's a place up in the Catskills, so it's well water. And he said, well, you know, I put a new tank in there one time that had what they call a pressurized diaphragm tank. And the old tank used to be a tank that introduced air into the system. He said, well, now that you did that, you're trapping that air into the system from the old system. And therefore, if you want to live with it, fine. If you're not, you have to go down and get rid of some kind of air infiltrator that allows air to get into the lines from the old system. So I'm living with it because it's not too annoying to have too much air, you know, a little bit of air in the pipes. I just wanted to comment that there may be a secondary problem that lady had, maybe as opposed to a leak in the system that they mentioned she may have. Okay, I just didn't want to just kind of had the same problem.
Appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Steve, thank you very much. And let's go to Paul in North Adams. Hiya, Paul.
Afternoon. I'm calling about root killer. I used to be able to buy it at the hardware store here in Massachusetts, but the last time I went to buy some more, they said they couldn't sell it anymore. And I believe it was copper sulfate.
Yep,
that is correct.
And I've done everything I can on my end. I've already removed 4 trees. I've had the system augered out about every other year for the last couple of years. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions of what I might be able to use that might help with the roots?
The best solution would be to line the pipe. So we could put a liner inside the pipe. The liner does not have any seams or joints so that roots cannot get in the pipe any longer. If you're going to get, we could do a root treatment for you. We don't use copper sulfate anymore because copper sulfate just sits on the bottom and only gets the roots on the bottom. We now use a foaming herbicide, and so it fills the whole pipe. So if you're going to go away for a weekend, we show up on Friday night as you're on your way out the door, we put this in the pipe, it sits all weekend, kills the roots. But it's only good for a year, and they're going to come back again. And the real problem with the roots is eventually the roots will collapse the pipe because they'll destroy the pipe. And then you'll have a collapsed pipe, and you'll have to dig it up and replace it. So it only goes in one bad direction. It never gets any better.
Fabulous.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Sorry we didn't have better information for you on that.
Roots are bad.
Weeping willows, I always heard, have terrible roots.
Terrible.
My kids want a weeping willow really badly in the back. I said, well, we'll put it near the neighbor's house. It'll be fine, right? No, I wouldn't do that, neighbors. Just kidding. Let's go to Winona in Sheffield. Winona, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
I recently bought a house.
Hello? Did we lose you, Winona?
She must be in the thunderstorm.
Perhaps.
Hello?
Oh, you still there? Okay, good. Hello? Okay, I think you got a bad connection. Winona, I will put you... tell you what, why don't you try again, and we'll have our call screener put you at the front of the line. Mike will put you at the front of the line. Let's go to Joe in Rhinebeck. Joe.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
So, for 25 years, we've heated our hot water off of our furnace. I think years and years ago, they may have had a separate hot water heater. So with the cost of fuel oil escalating, I'm wondering what the payback would be to separate the hot water, and have a hot water heater put in, as compared to continuing doing what we're doing. Any idea of the cost of the job to separate it off, including the hot water heater, and what kind of a job is it?
The best way to, if you want to save money on making hot water, which people don't realize how much energy goes towards producing the hot water in their homes, but they now make a heat pump water heater. So GE makes one, A.O. Smith makes one. They're available at Sears, and they frequently go on sale at Sears for, I think, $900, which is a great deal. But it's a heat pump water heater, so you put it in heat pump mode only, and it makes all your water and makes all your hot water. It cools your basement, and it also dehumidifies your basement a little bit. But that's what otherwise going to any other standard water heater, it's going to cost you more in your utility bill. The electric will be more, the gas will be more than you're currently paying. You could go to an instantaneous gas water heater, but your installation is starting to get very expensive.
Okay. All right, so a heat pump, huh?
Yeah.
Heat pump hot water heater.
Got one in my house. It works great.
And to separate it off of the existing lines, that's not a big deal?
It is not.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Joe. 1-800-348-2551 is our number on Vox Pop. Still some time for your call. 1-800-348-2551. Is this Joe in Pittsfield?
Yes.
Joe, you're on.
Okay. Listen, this is concerning the call where they had air throughout the house.
Yeah.
I'll just explain that one first. I used to do this, take care of these things all the time. What more than likely is going on is the the check valve down in the pump, down in the ground, is bad. So when the water tank gets all satisfied and the pump shuts off, the water drains back down into the well. And so when the pump comes back on, it's got this big head of air that comes up, and it's got to come out somewhere. So that, as opposed to being the check valve at the pressure tank, if that was bad, your pump would be coming on and off all the time because it would be losing pressure like that, and you'd notice the difference in their electric bill.
Yep.
And then the other problem, the low pressure throughout the house.
Yeah.
More than likely what's going on is the pressure is being lost in the pressure tank.
All right.
And the way to rectify that problem is the tank has to be drained down to nothing, and they want to put 2 pounds less than the kick-on pressure. So say if your pump kicks on at 40 pounds,
yeah,
you want to put 38 pounds of air into the tank. Turn everything back on when you're all set, and that problem should be fixed.
Well, I see people nodding here, so I think that you might be onto something, Joe. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's go to David in Adams, Mass. David, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
Maybe I should pull over.
Oh, that's a good plan. That's a great plan.
So I love hearing you guys talk about all this. I recently got my I'm certified VSS water systems operator in Massachusetts.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah. So all this is pretty familiar, but I have this problem that I can't figure out. When I turn on any faucet in my house, any faucet at all, the water pressure is really, really high for a few seconds. Hot or cold, it's really, really high, and then it mellows out, and it's normal water pressure. And I'm on municipal water.
Okay.
So I can't think of what the problem could be that would be causing that. I don't know if there's a check valve inside a water heater. I've never seen the inside of a water heater, so I don't know what they're designed like, but I was thinking that could possibly be it, because the pressure relief valve on the water heater gives out, so I have a bucket underneath the pipe there, because every time the heater turns on and heats water, it gets some water, it lets some water out.
Do you have, you said you had municipal water, right?
I do.
Do you have a water meter?
I do.
So you should have a pressure reducing valve that takes the pressure down. It sounds to me like that's what's going bad on you. And what's going to happen is that pressure reducing valve is supposed to maintain, say, 50 pounds of pressure throughout the whole house. And if it's starting to leak and starting to go bad on you, all of a sudden overnight or over a period of time, it's starting to leak pressure through it. So now your pressure's creeping up 50, 60 pounds. It'll blow off the pressure relief valve on a water heater. You turn a faucet on, all of a sudden it comes out really strong. You're like, wow, that's great. Then it dissipates down to where it's supposed to be because you took the pressure off. So I would suggest probably checking into that pressure reducing valve after
the meter.
Now,
where is the pressure? Oh, it's after the meter. So
yeah.
Is this something the town would put in? It's part of your system?
It's required by the system to have it there, because the municipal water could be, say, 100 pounds of pressure, which is
right.
Great because they're feeding everyone. Once it gets into your house, you probably want it around at most 60 pounds of pressure. That's usually...
You know what, guys? I'm going to hang up the phone. I'm losing you here.
Okay.
I'm just going to turn my radio back on and listen to you there.
Fair enough. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Okay,
The pressure reducing valves also helps the municipal system, because when they fill the water towers, the pressure in the whole system gets higher, and no one's using the water. So overnight, they know at 6 o'clock everybody's going to start getting up and they're going to use a lot of water. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, the pressure in the whole system is much higher, and then it cycles through. So the pressure reducing valve protects your house from that excessive pressure.
How can the average person who has little to no acumen in this at all check that in their own homes?
Was it 25 AUB?
Yes.
What does that mean?
So there, if you go to your water meter and you follow the pipe into the house, not out to the wall, there should be a brass valve, and it should be a model 25 AUB.
And how would you know if it's going bad?
You would have the symptoms that this caller just talked about.
Okay.
Increased water pressure, relief valves blowing off on your water heater or boiler.
Okay.
Toilets filling like incredibly fast.
Okay.
Starting to go bad. Or the opposite.
Knocking of pipes.
It could be the opposite, too. Pressure's dropping like a rock, and you have municipal water. It doesn't make any sense.
All right. Very interesting. Let's go back to the phones, and I think we have Winona now. Are you there, Winona?
Hi there. I am.
Okay. You're on.
Can you hear me better?
Yes.
Okay. We recently bought a house. And we installed a water softener that is very hard water. All of the fixtures were gummed up, so the pressure wasn't very good. We did check an outdoor faucet, and the pressure was fine. We replaced the kitchen sink, which helped, the kitchen sink faucet, and that has perfectly fine pressure. And now I'm wondering, we don't know if they had a water softener before in the house. We have fine pressure for most of the hot water in the faucets, but very little pressure for the cold water. We also only hook the water softener to the hot water because of the wanting to not have softened water for drinking. And I'm wondering now if we need to switch it over to the cold water as well and replace all of the fixtures.
You might not have to replace all the fixtures. If it's faucets, you may be able to rebuild them. There's cartridges and stems inside most of them. That's typically where stuff is going to get kind of gunked up with stuff. So you could maybe rebuild some of these faucets if they're relatively new. But you're right. If it helped on the hot water side and you kept it specifically there, it's probably time to get it back on the cold water. And you don't have to soften the heck out of it. Some people always think that you're going to soften water and it's going to be really, you know, get that slimy water that, you know, the people don't like. You can adjust the settings on it so it takes out, say, half of the hardness. And then you can pretty well customize it so it's not that really negative softened water that people don't like to drink.
Okay. And, you know, with I'm also finding it with the wash machine. If I don't think that the wash machine is getting enough water, I think that it just seems like things are getting wet, but not that there's not enough water going into the machine. Would the machine sense, would it allow enough water to come in or just wait and it be a longer cycle? Or it's only going to cycle for as long as it's programmed to? And how would I take care of that fixture there? It's just a shutoff valve.
I'm not at the, really...
At the washing machine?
Right. I'm not familiar with washing machines, so I can't answer that question. But I do want to add that if you want the hard water for drinking, which I completely understand, you can run a separate faucet before the water softener to like a kitchen sink so that you know you always have hard water there for drinking, so you don't have to drink the softened water. And also you can use potassium-based salt, which is good for everything.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Winona, I'm glad you made it through the second time. Patrick in Warwick. Patrick, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? I heard your questioner about hot water and oil tanks and so on. Solar hot water will eliminate 70% of whatever fuel you're using to heat hot water can be eliminated by installing a solar hot water system. They are heavily subsidized in New York State, 25% New York State tax credit, 30% federal tax credit, so 55% right off the bat in tax credits, which are not, which means 55% of the total cost of the system is paid for in tax credits.
Yeah.
And up to $4,000 a rebate on top of that.
Absolutely.
Solar. And no one ever talks about it. It's like the last thing on the list.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree with you 100%. Solar hot water is a great way to go.
All right, Patrick, thanks a lot. All right, let's ask one here from email. All right, here we go. I think we have a venting problem. I have that problem myself sometimes. I think we have a venting problem. No new fixtures installed for several years, but most drains are slow and go glug, glug, glug when other sink is used. Municipal water, municipal sewer, and a husband who wants to fix it but never gets around to it. Okay, now that's the underlying problem with this. There's the dig. Where should I start? That's from Altamont, New York.
Oh, you got to find your roof vent. That's typically the first thing to find. Okay. There's a vent that goes up through your roof. Hopefully it actually penetrates the roof and doesn't just stub up into the attic. But that vent is going to be clogged. It could be anything from a bee's nest, a little bit of leaves and stuff that has gotten down there that's going to restrict something. If you have a house trap too, they can have a vent on them that can be just clogged with debris from outside. So you're going to need to find the vent either on the roof or at the house trap.
All right, fair enough. And what should she do about the lazy husband? Anything?
She's on her own.
Okay, you don't want to get into that at Mr. Reuter?
We know better.
All right, gentlemen, well done, Clint Kershaw and Drew Caldwell. How do we get in touch with you at Mr. Reuter?
845-635-2102.
Are you on the World Wide Web?
We are. TheHudsonValley.MrReuter.com.
Splendid. Thanks to you and thanks to everybody you called in today. Support comes from Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. The Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate theater program in liberal arts with concentrations in design and technology, theater studies and performance, newpaltz.edu/theatre. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com, and Green Conscience Home and Garden, Saratoga Springs, New York, a green design showroom dedicated to healthy interiors with non-toxic flooring, wall finishes, beds, and more. Green-conscience.com. Thanks again to Clint and Drew, and thanks to Zach Malloy, who was at the controls. Thanks to Mike Allinger, who answered your calls today, and our producer, Jessica Blaustein. Marshall, I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, this is exciting. We won't be able to see the sky because it'll be cloudy, but Bob Berman, Astronomer Deluxe, will be here. Stay tuned now for a news update.